This is John McMurray of the Society for American Baseball Research, and I'm speaking today with Dickie Thon for a Sabre Oral History. Dickie played 15 seasons in the major leagues for six teams, most notably with the Houston Astros, beginning in 1979 and extending through 1993. We are recording this interview with Dickie's permission on February the 28th, 2024. And Dickie, I wanted to start out by asking, what got you interested in baseball?
Well, you know, I come from a family that my grandfather played professional baseball in Puerto Rico from 1940 to 1950. You know, in those days, they didn't let black players play in the States. So they came and played in Puerto Rico. It was a very tough, very good league. So that's why I started. I was interested because I used to go to summertime and they have camps. And I used to go when I was like 5 years old, and I saw those professional baseball players, and I always wanted to be one of them. So I started very, very young.
And you were born in South Bend, Indiana, your dad, Freddie, was playing baseball at Notre Dame. Arm problems got in the way of his career. And it was only after that that you wound up moving to Puerto Rico. Is that correct?
Yes, my father was going to Notre Dame, and when he finished college, we went back to Puerto Rico. I think I was like a month or 2 months old. So, you know, I was born there, but I was really grew up in Puerto Rico.
And you mentioned your grandfather, and he was a pitcher.
Yeah, he was a pitcher, and then he became an outfielder in the Puerto Rico Winter League, and he was a very good player.
And he was on the verge of getting signed by the Brooklyn Dodgers, that he turned down a contract from the Dodgers. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. That's what I understand. And in those days, he was working in Puerto Rico in the Navy, and he was playing ball too. So he was making a good living in Puerto Rico. And I believe that the amount of money they offered was a lot less than the amount he was making in Puerto Rico. So he didn't go.
Can you tell us how important baseball was at that time to the culture of Puerto Rico?
Yes, very important. Basically, everybody will either watch or listen in the radio. Plus, it was very good players playing in Puerto Rico, such as Page, Joshua Gibson, Wheeler Brown, Monty Irving, Hairston, a bunch of very good players. And I understand it was a very tough league, and the fans used to go crazy. You know, every game was full, and it was very important for the Puerto Rico fans.
Who were the players that you particularly admired growing up?
Monty Irving was one of them. Monty, and then Clemente came along. Clemente and Cepeda. They were my favorite players.
And you had the chance to meet Monty Irvin when you were quite young.
Oh, yes. And he used to come and visit my grandfather in Puerto Rico. And I met him. I remember I met him. And what I remember was, you know, he was very big, big arms. Big. He was a very well-built guy. And I was impressed because he was a big guy, but very nice guy.
At what point during your formative years did you start playing shortstop?
I always played shortstop. I was when I was a kid, I was very quick, and every league that I play shortstop. I play sometimes second, but my position that I really loved was shortstop.
And at what point did you start thinking you might have the chance to make it to the major leagues?
I think it was like a senior in a high school. Because I play all sports. I play basketball, I play volleyball, track. We didn't have football in Puerto Rico. So I play all sports. But when I was a senior in high school, I realized I had the ability to play professionally, and I dedicated myself to become a professional baseball player.
You also played in the Puerto Rican Winter League during your high school years. Tell us about that experience and how much it meant in terms of developing your skills.
Well, a lot. I signed in 1975. I signed in Puerto Rico professionally before I signed with the Angels. And I remember going to the practice with the Bayamón Vaqueros, and they had a great team there. You know, we had Candelaria, we had Ken Griffey Sr., we had Art Howe, Darrell Evans. We have a bunch of very good players. And, you know, being around those guys helped me a lot with my career.
You were signed by the California Angels as an amateur free agent in 1975. Do you remember the name of the scout who signed you?
Yes, Red Smith.
And how did it all happen? Who approached you? When did this take off?
Well, I was playing like a semi-pro league, not pro because I didn't get paid, but they call Double A in Puerto Rico, and one of the Bird Dogs, I was playing against his team, and he's the one who approached me with Red to be signed by the Angels, and that's why I signed, because he was the one who encouraged me to sign with the Angels.
In 76, you went to the Class A Quad Cities team in Davenport, Iowa, and what was it like getting to the minor leagues?
It was a great experience. I was very lucky that I had as a roommate Joe Maddon, and he was my roommate 2 years in a row, and I was a young guy, but he really took care of me, and he helped me a lot. And we, you know, the same team was Carney Lamford, Floyd Rayford. We had a great team, very, very good players in that team.
Now, Joe Maddon obviously became a very successful major league manager, but what was he like at that stage of his career?
You know, he was a little older than me. He signed out of college. And what I remember, he was a very good catcher, very smart, not a bad hitter. But, you know, he was older than you know, most of the guys. But I noticed that he was very structured, very intelligent. And I didn't know he was going to be that good of a manager, but he was a very smart guy.
In 1977, you were with Class A Salinas, AAA Salt Lake City. At this stage of your career, when you're in the minor leagues, were you considered a better hitter or were you considered a better fielder?
You know, I had a coach named Bob Clear for many years with the Angels when I started. And he always told me to play the complete game, you know, be a good defensive player, be a good base runner, be a good hitter, hit with power sometimes, hit with men on base, you know, get the running in. So he really was a very, he got on me to be a complete player. So I consider myself to be a both sides, a good defense and good hitter.
Were you thinking at this time that you were getting close to being ready for the major leagues? You were getting a lot of praise as an infielder. You were considered in many cases the best prospect. What were you thinking at the time?
Well, you know, I was thinking to getting better. My second year with the organization, I had a very good year with the Salt Lake City and Salinas, and I hit with power. I hit with a lot of RBIs, a good base runner. So I felt that I was getting closer. But, you know, the Angels at that time, they had a lot of older players. Campanelli was there, Freddie Patek. So, you know, it was a little tough for me to get started and playing regularly.
And it wasn't a situation where a rookie comes up and just goes direct right into the lineup at that time. It was a different dynamic, right?
Yeah, it was different. I remember that was in 79. We make it to the with the playoff with the against the Baltimore Orioles. And I hit .339 in the big leagues, and I didn't have a chance to play regularly. It was very tough to play. I felt that I was ready to play, but, you know, we have older players. very good players. So it was a little tough to just to get started as a regular player.
Your last stop in the minor leagues was in Salt Lake City, and then you were called up to the Angels. You make your debut May the 22nd, 1979, and you replaced Bobby Gritch at second base. What do you remember most about that first game?
Well, I was very excited, very nervous. I remember, you know, we were playing for a pennant, and so it was a lot of pressure to do the job. You know, I was playing with very good players, Rocaru, Bobby Gritch, Campaneris, Patek, Carney Lamford. We had a very good Don Baylor. So I felt like, you know, I had to be ready to help. And I felt that I did my job.
What do you remember about your first at bat or your first hit during your first at bat against Rich Hinton?
Yeah, I remember I was very nervous, but you know, I felt what helped me a lot was that a lot of those guys I faced in winter ball and play with a very good player, so I didn't feel that intimidated. I felt that I belonged there, and I felt good to being in the big leagues.
And you had good initial success. You're filling in when Bobby Gritch got hurt, when Bert Campaneris got hurt. Jim Fregosi was impressed by your early progress. What was it like playing for Fregosi?
He was a very old school manager. He was, he took care of the older players, and I had to pay my dues to be able to play regular. But he was very fair. You know, I thought that, you know, he gave me the chance. Whenever I play, I try to do the best because we were playing for a pennant.
You mentioned Rod Carew a little earlier. I know he had a great influence upon your career. He was a veteran player by that time. Tell us about your relationship and how he did impact your career.
Well, he really helped me a lot to giving me positive and feeling that you have to feel that you belong when you play in the big leagues. He was very disciplined player. I never saw Rocaru throw a bat or a helmet he was a very disciplined player, and I learned a lot about being in the big leagues with him.
And in terms of your own progress, you did go back to Salt Lake City in 1980, then you came back to the major leagues, and you had a 5-for-5 game in your first game back. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, and I was hitting .398, something like that, in Triple A. I was hitting the ball very well. I thought I was going to get a chance to play regularly, but it was tough. I didn't play regular. At the end, I played more, you know, late in the season, but you know, it was tough to get in because Fregosi believed a lot in the older players, and I had to pay my dues, so I pay my dues.
But it also can be very hard to play some and then not play for a while and sort of keep your mental attitude together. Was that difficult for you?
Yeah, in the beginning it was very difficult because I didn't play every day. I played, like every 5 days, maybe. If somebody got hurt, I play. So, you know, it was tough. In the big leagues, you know, I was feeling very well, very good when they called me up from AAA, but I needed to play more. But, you know, at the same time, I learned a lot.
You also were a teammate of Nolan Ryan. Tell us about him, both on field and off.
Nolan, was very intimidating pitcher. And when you play behind him, you really want to do the job because if you didn't do the job, he will look at you and he will let you know. But, you know, Nolan was a very fair guy outside the game. He was a very nice guy, good teammate. He didn't get on anybody when you make a mistake, but he expect that you give your best. And that's why I learned from him. I played in three different teams with him, and it was an honor to play with that kind of a pitcher.
And the Angels obviously were a strong team, lots of veteran presence, and you had to have a sense at that point that maybe there wasn't going to be a full-time role for you there. Were you getting a sense that maybe the Angels, just with all of the talent that they had, maybe just didn't have an opening?
Yes, I felt it. And then they signed Rick Burleson, which, you know, he was a great shortstop, and he was a free agent for the Boston. When they signed him, I felt that, you know, I was going to be out of there soon because I needed to play. And soon, you know, in 81, I got traded.
You were traded in April of 1981 to the Houston Astros, and they got the Angels got starting pitcher Ken Forsch, and they needed another pitcher at the time. How did you feel about the trade?
I felt good because I wanted to play regularly, but when I got to Houston, they had a guy named Craig Reynolds, which he went to the a couple All-Star game. He was a very consistent.
And then,
player, and it was hard for me to play too regularly because Bill Bearden, like Craig, was a very steady player. So it took a couple of years for me to start playing regularly.
And of course, you have to learn new pitchers because the two leagues didn't play each other at that time. And what was there any obvious difference to you besides the pitcher hitting in going to the National League versus the American League?
No, not really. I felt that both leagues were, very talented players. So I was, I was trying to be more consistent as a player at the time. And I tried to do that just to be able to play regularly because Houston had a good, very good team too. It was tough to break and play regularly.
Now, when you were playing in Houston and splitting time with Craig Reynolds, you hit particularly well at home, and you hit particularly well against left-handed pitching. What was the reason in both cases?
Well, I think I was facing more lefties than Bill Bearden, because Craig was a lefty. So that's why I was seeing more left-handed pitchers, and that really helped me, because I felt comfortable, and I hit very well in the Astrodome.
And of course, the Astros were a good team. You know, they won the second half title of the National League West during that strike shortened season. That had to have been really unusual, playing in that situation where you had the first half of the season, but you didn't know when the strike occurred that would be the cutoff point for the playoffs. And then you have a big break in the middle, and then you come back.
Yeah, I remember I went back to Puerto Rico. I was lucky enough that I could work out here in Puerto Rico a lot. And when I got back, I was ready, and I hit very well at the second half. And that really helped me to play more regular with the team.
You had a lot of hot hitting streaks during that season. What was the reason? I mean, when you get on a streak like that, is it something that you have any kind of understanding of why something happens the way it does?
No, I think it was the chance and the opportunity to play more regularly. And that really helped the player, to play every 5 days is very tough in the big leagues. And I was a young player, so it really helped me when I played consecutive days. And I had some good days. And, but for me to be able to play, I had to play good because Craig was a very good player.
And then, of course, you have the division series where the Astros played the Dodgers. What do you recall about that series?
Well, I remember that we won the first two games, and I think that we needed to win one more to continue playing, and we lost three in a row, and the Dodgers became world champions that year. So, we had a good chance to make it to the World Series, but we didn't make it.
I mean, that was a formidable Dodgers team, a lot of veteran talent. When you're facing the Dodgers, as you said, a team that went on to win the World Series, what do you remember about that Dodgers team and particular players? And obviously, Fernando Valenzuela is around that time as well and making quite an impact.
Oh yeah, they have very good pitchers. Starting pitcher was very good. Royce, Valenzuela, Hooton. They had a Welch, and they have very good players, very good hitters. It was a complete team. It was a tough team to beat.
And you're facing all of those, you know, very talented veteran pitchers. How did it work at that particular time? Are you pretty much deciding your approach to hitting when a pitcher comes up, or are you getting an extensive scouting report on pitchers? I mean, obviously you're only in your first few years and you're seeing some of these pitchers inconsistently. Who's telling you your hitting strategies, or are you doing it yourself?
Well, I did it myself. In those days, they didn't give you that much information. Sometimes Cheo Cruz will let me know what the guy threw. But at the same time, I had a lot of confidence because I came to, you know, I was playing in Puerto Rico, facing very good pitching, and I felt that I could, I was able to hit well against very good pitching. So that's what I did.
And you also had good speed, and stolen bases were in fashion at the time as well. In terms of stealing bases, is that something that is something you learn, or is it something where you just have that natural skill?
Well, I learned in the minor leagues because I remember I was one of the top runners in the organization, and coaching encouraged me to develop that part of the game. And I did. When I went to the big leagues, I think the first year I hit 37 stolen bases, and I have a lefty behind me. It was Cheo Cruz. He didn't like for me to steal that much because he wanted to hit that that hole between first and second. So I could have steal a lot more, but you know, that was part of the game. And Cheo let me know, you know, let me know that when I was at first base, he wanted to hit that hole. So sometimes I didn't steal, but I could have steal maybe 50 and 20 homers. And not too many shortstop will do that. But at the time, I didn't think about that.
Now in 1982, you replace Craig Reynolds at shortstop, and having that opportunity to play every day really paid dividends. You led the National League in triples. You were in the top 10 in stolen bases, and also had a very high fielding percentage. Describe for us what that 1982 season was and sort of how you got so comfortable so quickly.
You know, that's the year that really helped me establish as a regular shortstop. I think that in those days, they didn't use that much WAR percentage, but I had a very good one. I played good defense, good hitting, good base running. So I felt that I was in the top of the shortstops in the league.
And obviously your confidence was quite high, and you were defensively discussed often with Ozzie Smith, and so that is quite a compliment.
Oh yeah, I met Ozzie when I my first year or my second year as a professional. I went to Structural League in Arizona, and Ozzie was there, and I always, you know, had a good friendship with him, and you know, he was a great player.
And you had mentioned before Jim Fregosi sort of being an old school manager. Tell us more about Bill Verdon and his strategy for managing the team. He gave the outward impression of being quite a quiet guy, longtime baseball man. What was it like to play for him?
He was similar to Fregosi, very old school. I remember one time I went to his office because I wanted to play more regularly, and he didn't took it too well, because I was a young guy, and he told me to get out of the office, that I would play whenever he felt that I was, you know, was good for the team for me to play. So he was a tough guy.
And you had played with Phil Garner, who was a member of the 1979 Pirates World Championship team. He was the second baseman. What was your relationship like with Garner?
Very, very, very good. He really helped me a lot too, because he let me know, you know, relax, you belong here, and do your job. And he was a great player for us in Houston. He had great years, very steady, play hard, Very good with base, man on base. He was a great player to play with.
And you had some really extraordinary pitchers on that Astros team as well. Joe Niekro led the 82 team with 17 wins. And then you have Nolan Ryan and Don Sutton. That had to have been one of the best things for an infielder to have that kind of quality pitching in, on the field.
Yeah, and very good relievers. And you know what? The Astrodome was a ballpark that was better suited for pitching because it was so big, and it was tough to see the ball because it was a big, big field. So I really think the pitcher had an advantage. And we also had that got hurt, J.R. Richard. So we have very good pitching.
And tell us your recollections of J.R. Richard, because he was quite an extraordinary pitcher.
Oh, I remember that when he was trying to come back from that injury, we used to face him, and he was out of control, and it was tough to hit him because the ball was going everywhere. But I remember he was a very good pitcher.
You know, when you're playing in the Astrodome, obviously you were playing outdoors in with the California Angels. From an infielder's perspective, and you obviously sometimes see ball players lose the ball in the roof. What was your experience playing in the Astrodome, and did you enjoy it more playing indoors or outdoors?
No, I like it more outdoors, but yeah, I had to get used to indoors. I remember Cheryl told me when they hit a fly ball, don't get your eyes off the ball because you will lose it. So you had to have know how to play in that ballpark. Plus the field was very quick too because of the AstroTurf. So that, I had to make an adjustment. But it was a good place to play.
In terms of your own power numbers, you were not a home run hitter, although you did have 20 home runs in 1983, but by and large, you were not a home run hitter. And, you know, you think of shortstops today, and they often generate an awful lot of power. And I guess it speaks to the question of how was shortstop different back when you were playing?
Well, yeah, when I was coming up, the thing about the shortstop was that you had to be a good defensive player. And if you're a hitter, it was a plus. So most of the shortstop when I came up were not that great hitters. Very good defensive players, but I think I could have hit more homers because at the beginning I was an first leadoff hitter. And as a leadoff hitter, your job is to get on base. So I was trying to do that. The year I hit 20, I was hitting third, and that really helped me because they were challenging me more. Because I had Joe Cruz behind me. So that's why I hit more homers.
Now, that 1983 season with Houston really was your most outstanding season, both offensively and defensively. You had over 600 at-bats. You were seventh in the league in hits with 177. But you also ranked first in shortstop assists, and second in double plays turned, and hit over 300 month after month. What do you remember about that 83 season, and what was the biggest difference going from 82, where you were successful, to 83, where you were even more successful?
I think I was getting more mature as a player, understanding the game more, the pitchers, how they were facing me, and the you know, being able to play more games. But I felt I was, you know, I was playing in Puerto Rico, and I was playing against very good players: Tony Gwynn, Ricky Henderson, Carl Ripken, and I saw that those players were playing very well in the States. So I said, you know, it's not that much different. So I really got a lot of confidence playing that year.
And you had, for a player who had 71 career home runs, you had three games where you had two home runs in that season alone. What happened?
Yeah, I was feeling good. You know, I was getting stronger too as a player. When I first started, I was a lot skinnier. I was getting stronger, and I remember I worked very hard in the winter. playing in Puerto Rico, and it really helped me for that year.
And you made the All-Star team in 1983, and that game was played at Comiskey Park, and you were able to get into the game, which sometimes didn't happen, and you were a pinch hitter and pinch hit for Bill Dawley. At that point, it was the fifth inning, and you were facing Rick Honeycutt. And Ozzie Smith had singled to open the top of the fifth inning, and then you came to bat. What do you remember about it?
Well, I remember that Rick was a very crafty pitcher. I knew I had to stay with him because if you overswing, you were going to be an out. But I remember Whitey gave me a chance to play. Usually, young players with Ozzie playing shortstop, you didn't get that much chance, but he gave me 3 at bats that day, and I was very grateful that he gave me that chance.
And you got a single to center field that got Smith to second, and ultimately, following your at bat, Steve Sachs wound up getting another single, and you got to second base. But it had to have been an extraordinary thrill just to be on that field, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was something else. I saw Willie Mays. I saw Cepeda. I saw a lot of very good players, and to me, that was a dream, being in the same field. And when I got to first base, Rod Carew was at first base. So it was a great experience.
Did you get to talk to Orlando Cepeda during that game and Willie Mays?
Oh, yeah, before the game. And to me, it was a thrill. Willie, I knew about Willie because he played in Puerto Rico. And I knew how good of a player he was. And to me, it was being in the same field was something else.
And what was Willie Mays like personally?
He was talking to everybody, very nice to everybody. He was very colorful. Cepeda was the same way. They're good guys.
Now, at that point in your career, you're really things are going extremely well for you. Was Houston becoming a home?
Oh, yeah. That was, but by that time, Houston was home. Houston, I had 2 kids born. One was born in Houston at the time. Now, later, all my kids were born in Houston. Houston's still my home. So, I became a Houstonian.
And you were, in that 1983 season, you were 7th in the league in the Most Valuable Player Award voting. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, a lot. I was playing with very good players, but playing against like Murphy and Schmidt and Dawson, and they're very good players. And to be mentioned around them was great. It was a great accomplishment.
And in terms of players that you admired, were there others that you looked around the league and tried to model your game after as a major leaguer?
No, not really. I was trying to be myself and play the way I was taught to play. And I didn't really look about, being like Ricky Henderson or Cal Ripken. I tried to play the way I could play.
You mentioned Rod Carew having a great influence on you when you were with California. Was there any player with the Astros who really was a good mentor?
Oh, yeah, Cheo Cruz. Cheo was very good mentor, very underrated player, very good player. To me, one of the best in the league as a hitter. So I learned a lot with him playing with, with Cheo. I played, I think, 7 years with him, and it was good. It was great.
In 1984, your season got off to a very good start. You batted .375 during the first 4 games of the season. But then on April 8th, in a game at the Astrodome, you had a situation where you were hit in the left eye or near the left eye by a pitch thrown by Mike Therese of the New York Mets. Tell us what happened.
Well, I think, at the Astrodome, sometimes the ball would look dark. That day, I didn't see the ball very well. I saw it late. I wasn't an aggressive hitter. He would struck me out with the sliders away, and I think I was trying to hit too much to right field, and he threw me a fastball inside, and I reacted late. Usually that doesn't happen. I was very, very quick getting out of the way, but that day I didn't see the ball very well. I saw it late, and you know, it happened, and I got injured, and that injury was it was tough on me because I never recuperate my vision the same way I was before.
And you mentioned about how Mike Torres had struck you out on a pitch toward the outside. Did that make you move in on the plate a little bit more, thinking he might go outside again?
No, really. I stayed the same, but I was looking too much to hit that way. And I forgot, you know, they throw inside sometimes to get you out of the plate. So I think I was looking too much to right field, and I reacted late.
You did have a stance that leaned into the plate a little bit, but that was also not uncommon at that time.
Yeah, I was very quick in the inside part of the plate with my, you know, I was quick hands. So I tried to take advantage of that, make the pitcher throw, you know, inside, because I like the ball inside. And but sometimes you have to be aware that they can come in and let you know off the plate, and it happens.
And so the pitch apparently glanced off of your ear flap and then hit you above your left eye. Is that correct?
Yes, and I lost on some vision in that left eye.
And was it when it happened initially, just at the moment it occurred, what went through your mind?
I felt that I was hurt. I didn't know how bad. If I was going to lose some vision, I didn't know. But I felt, you know, the ball hit me pretty good, and I felt that I was going to be in trouble for a while. But what really hurt me was that I lost some vision.
And when the pitch came in, if you watch a video of it, you're sort of backing away, but also sort of moving down a little bit. And obviously in the moment, you don't have time to plan which way you go, but it was a situation where the way you moved and the way the pitch was moving sort of coincided.
Yes, and I usually you will go back, so it hits you in the back, and I went down instead of going back, you know, back, and but you know, it happens.
What about the quality of the helmets at that time? Is there anything about the way that they were made that would have made a difference in terms of your injury?
I think it would have made a difference. I think they're much better now, and they have that flap that they use that would have helped me. But I never used it, even after I got hit and I lost some vision. I never felt comfortable, but I think it would have helped me.
I read that you once said that you kind of froze when the pitch came in. Is that true?
A little bit, but I meant that I saw the ball late, and I think usually I see the ball sooner, so I usually get out of the way. But I saw that day I saw it late.
And at one point you had I'd read you had said that you wanted to make sure that you were scared, but you also wanted to make sure that you lived from this.
Yeah, the pain was bad, and I felt that, you know, that I hit me pretty good. I never felt it that way. I got hit sometimes in the minor leagues and in Puerto Rico in the helmet, but this time I thought they helped me, you know, hit me pretty good, and I didn't know how bad, but it hit me square.
And you were taken to Methodist Hospital. Tell us what happened at the hospital.
Well, I don't remember much. I was in good pain, and I didn't know how bad it was going to be. But, you know, the Astros really took care of me, and it really helped me a lot that I felt that they did everything that they could have done to protect me.
I know that Mike Torres called you and was very apologetic. What do you remember about that call?
Yes, I remember. He told me, you know, I was very sorry. that he didn't really mean to hit me. I knew, you know, I didn't feel that he was trying to hit me and make me, you know, getting me hurt. I know that the kind of pitcher he was, he threw inside, and he was a great, very good pitcher, tough pitcher to hit. So, you know, I never felt that it was on purpose.
And he said it simply got away from him.
Well, I think he threw inside because I know he, you know, those type of pitchers, they throw inside to throw away. So, you know, he was trying to come in, let me know, and then go away again. And, that you know, I should have got out of the way. I don't think it was his fault.
But it also sounds like the Astrodome background and the lighting really did make a difference.
Yeah, it's a tough place to hit. The ball will look a little darker than outside. But I felt good hitting in the Astrodome. You know, it's not an excuse. But, you know, what happened, happened. And it happens a lot.
Is it true that your wife, Bianca, was watching the game and went into labor because she saw what happened and it was so distressing?
No, that was my sister-in-law.
Ah, okay. I had read that it was your wife. Okay.
No, my sister-in-law, and it's true. She went to labor.
Ah, that's quite an event.
So every time I saw him, I remember my injury because the same day he was born.
Ah, and the 84 season was over for you, and I think you probably knew pretty early after the injury that you wouldn't be able to come back and play for right away.
Yes. Once I noticed that my vision was bad, it was going to take some time.
But there's also was a psychological component to it, that this really had significant effects upon you personally. Can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, I was never afraid when I came back from the ball, because I grew up playing when I was a kid. I got hit a lot. So I was not afraid. The problem was that I had to deal with the injury. I had to realize I was not going to be the same player I was because of the injury. So that was the toughest thing for me to do, to deal with. I tried my life to be the best I could, be the best player I could. And at that time, I was not going to be the best I could.
And you started out with vision at 2300, blurred vision, but also depth perception problems.
Yes. I had to get used to it. I had to, things to help me with my vision. It was a hard work to come back.
And it was when you ultimately got back to the major leagues, you couldn't see, it was a depth perception problem, or you had trouble making the ball itself out as it came toward the plate, or both?
Both, but my depth perception was not the same. I had to learn how to hit again, because I used to be a hitter that look inside, and I became a hitter that look outside. And so because I couldn't pick up the ball as soon as I wanted to. So I made that adjustment, and it helped me out. You know, I was not the same player, but I was a pretty good pitcher, hitter. I was, you know, I became a decent hitter, but not the same hitter I was.
And while you were recuperating, I know you were taking some business courses at a nearby community college, but you also took a course on sports psychology that I know was instrumental in helping you get back on the field.
Yeah, I took it because I wanted to deal with when you have an injury and it's nothing that you can do about it for getting better. You have to deal psychologically with that injury. So it helped me to understand that it's okay to be where you at and do the best you can with the injury that you have. And that took me some time.
Now, you did get back on the field late in the 84 season in the Arizona Instructional League. You didn't get back to the major leagues in 84. And you also went on to play winter ball that year. As you were starting out following the injury, what was it like from a vision perspective?
It was funny because my first at-bat, I hit a home run. I hit a homer in Beathorn Stadium. But I didn't see the ball very well. And I had about three or four more at-bats, and I didn't play more because I was not picking the ball the way I wanted to. But that was one of the things I had learned, that I was not going to see the ball the same way. And but it's funny, I hit a homer in my first at-bat.
Now, you did come back, and you were the starting shortstop for the Astros to start the 1985 season. And you certainly got enthusiastic support from the crowd on that opening day. What do you remember about it?
Yeah, I felt that the fans there were very nice to me. They were good fans. You know, Houston fans are very fair, and they always give me encouragement to continue playing. And they were very instrumental for me to be playing there again.
And, you know, you did get a single, scored a run in that first game back, had to give you some sense of optimism. Did the team give you, and at this point you're under manager Bob Lillis, what did the team say to you about your prospects for being the regular shortstop?
Well, they were very, they gave me all the chances in the world. Al Rosen was the general manager, Bob Lillis was the manager. But I felt very bad because I could not physically do the things I was used to it, and I couldn't give any more. You know, I give my best, and it was tough. It was tough not being able to be on top of my game, and then realize that I could not be there anymore. But I learned, I could be average player and stay in the big leagues, and that's what I did.
You know, your vision was improving, sometimes, I guess, 20/30 in some cases, but it seems as though the depth perception issue became more of a problem than whatever the numbers were reading the eye chart.
Yes, and it never came back because, when I close my right eye, I don't see anything with my left eye. So it got better, but I never got to where I wanted to be. And it was tough to learn how to compete with only one eye, and I did it, but I had to pay a price. I was not the same player.
And your left eye faces the pitcher as well, so that affects your ability to and just so I'm clear, you can't see anything out of your left eye when you close the right?
No, if I close my eye, I don't see you I don't see anything. I see, but I don't see it clear.
Anything with any detail?
Yes.
And as you went into the 1986 season, you had a new contract. Were things getting slowly better, at least? I mean, I know they were never what they were, but was it at least improving?
Well, a little better, but you know what? I was facing more left-hander hitters, pitchers, than before, and it really helped me because I was seeing the ball better against lefty than right-hander. I was not the same hitter as with the right-handed pitching. And that's why I in 86, I play a lot against lefties.
And in 86, but you were on the field when Mike Scott threw his no-hitter against San Francisco and clinched the National League West. What do you remember about that game?
Oh, I remember the way he dominated. That game, he was amazing. He really was the tough pitcher for us, and he was one of the best in those years.
Now, Scott seemed like a quiet fellow, and he just went out and had a bulldog mentality and shut down the other team. He's a hard person to have a real sense of from afar. What was he like?
He was very quiet, very tough guy, but very quiet. He will protect your hitters anytime. If he felt that anybody was throwing at us, he would not hesitate to hit anybody in the other team. So he was a very good teammate.
Even amidst your recovery, you did hit a home run off of Sid Fernandez in Game 4 of the National League Championship Series. And what do you remember about that home run?
Oh, I was very excited. I was in New York. I had a lot of family there. Sid was a tough pitcher. Mets had very good pitching. And, you know, I thought we were going to win that series, but we lost too. It was tough, but we played well, and we faced a very good team.
And that 86 Astros Mets series is one of the great legendary playoff series of all time, and easily could have gone either way. What do you think was the turning point in that series that made it so that the Mets were able to pull it out?
You know, the Dykstra homer was very, you know, important for them. And also, they had such a good lineup. It was a very tough lineup that I felt that we needed to score more runs to beat them. But they have good pitching, too. So it was a very tough team to beat.
As you reach the end of your Astros career, I know you had some disagreements with the general manager, Dick Wagner. Did that play a role in you in your eventual end of your time in Houston?
Yes. Dick Wagner was a very, you know, old school kind of guy. He didn't really understand that my injury, sometimes I needed some time off to come back strong. And he didn't really treat me very well, and I didn't feel good, you know, playing for him. And that really caused me to get out of Houston. And I felt bad because that's sort of my home, and that was my team. But that's the way, you know, it's a business, and that's the way it was.
In terms of your own recovery from your injury, is there anything that you or anyone could have done differently?
No, because, you know, I have like a scar tissue in my left eye that nothing can be done. So I did everything to get better. Houston did everything, you know, so I had to realize that it's part of the game. It's an injury. You either do your job or you don't. And, you know, it's a tough business.
Now, after your time with the Astros was over, you signed with the San Diego Padres, but you're also coming in as a backup to Gary Templeton. What was your thinking in going to the Padres?
You know what's funny? I was going to retire, and I went to a game in the Beathorn Stadium, and Larry Bowa was at the game. And he saw me, and he asked me if I wanted to play anymore, he would give me a chance in San Diego, because they were looking for a backup for Terry. And I say, I will think about it, and I will let you know. So about a month passed, and I called him, and he gave me a chance. And I made the team, and the rest is history. I played like 10 more years.
And tell us about Tony Gwynn and what it was like both to be his teammate and to watch him play.
Oh, Tony, you know, I played with Tony in Puerto Rico 2 years before he became a star in San Diego. So I knew Tony well, and you know what really impressed me was his discipline as a player and as a hitter. What a great player! Very similar to Rock Caru. So it was a pleasure to play with him.
Now your time with the Padres was relatively short, and you're traded to the Philadelphia Phillies. And how did you feel about that?
Oh, I felt good because I wanted to give me a chance to try to play every day again before I retire. So I had a chance to play a lot, and I led the league in the National League shortstops in homers and RBIs, and I hit 270, which is pretty good for a shortstop. So you know, it was good that I played, you know, those 3 years in Philly regular. And I felt good that I could do that, and they gave me a chance.
You switched to a heavier bat during that time, 34-ounce to 38-ounce. Why did you do it?
Because I separated from home plate. I was hitting too close to home plate, and I was getting away too soon. So I got a bigger bat, and I got out off the plate, and I tried to hit everything to right field. And it really helped me.
And you had adjusted your batting stance following the injury, and you were not as close to the plate as you had been previously. That has to make a real difference in terms of your ability to hit. It almost must be like learning how to hit all over again.
Yeah, it was tough in the beginning, but I was lucky enough to produce in Philly that year, so they gave me a chance to play every day. But, you know, I was not the same hitter by any means. But I hit better than the average, and I had, you know, success hitting some homers and RBIs, and it helped me to be playing a couple years more.
In your time in Philadelphia, you played with the nucleus of that 93 team. There were several players like Darren Dalton, who was on that team, and Lenny Dykstra, John Crook was on that team. Tell us about just what the atmosphere was like around those Phillies teams.
It was a little crazy. Lenny, you know, everybody know Lenny. Lenny, very good player, hustle, but he was undisciplined as a player, but he was a good player. Crook was a very good player. Dalton, very good. We had good players, and they were young when I was there, and they became better players, you know, before that World Series, and they had good careers.
You know, by this time, you know, you mentioned earlier about when you were a young player coming up and who mentored you. Were you trying to fill the role of a veteran mentor at any point?
You know, I was not, because I didn't feel that I was a player that I can say things to young players. I was trying to make it in the big leagues, stay in the big leagues. I was not the same player I was before. So I pretty much keep quiet, but if anything I could help, I try to help him.
You know, you were playing every day in spite of the injury, you know, when you were in Philadelphia. You did go back to the Astrodome and hit two home runs there, which I imagine was a particularly satisfying day, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I remember I hit Jim DeChase. I took him deep twice. And then I took Mike Scott, my last year with the Phillies. I took Mike Scott twice. Deep in the Astrodome too. That was a thrill.
You know, you play in 1992, but you also, you know, after your injury were having trouble, you were occasionally on the disabled list, and it just had some inconsistency to your time. Sometimes you struggled and sometimes you did well. I know the Phillies didn't offer you a contract following the 1992 season. What were you thinking would happen next?
Well, you know, they offered me a contract for 2 years, for 1 year. And I wanted it 2 years, so they didn't give me 2 years. So that's why I became a free agent and went to Texas. But, you know, I was not the same player. I was getting injured. I was not playing every day. So, you know, I struggled a little bit. I had some good months, but I was not consistent.
You did receive the Tony Conigliaro Award, and Conigliaro had himself recovered from a serious eye injury from a pitch. What did that award mean to you?
A lot, because you know, it meant that I showed the people in the business that I came back, and I tried to do my best. And Tony Conigliaro was a great player. This thing happened to him, and it really hurt his career, and it really hurt my career too. I was a good player, but I became an average player. So to get that prize was very important for me.
When you join the Texas Rangers, you're going back to the state of Texas, or you'd had so much success with Houston. Did that make a difference to you?
Not really. I went to Texas because I wanted to be closer to home, Houston. There were a lot of very good young players like Ivan Rodriguez, Igor Gonzalez, Palmeiro. They had very good young players. And it was a nice experience, but I was not the same, you know, consistent player. And I didn't play bad, but I didn't stay, you know, I didn't play the way I wanted to.
So you ultimately signed with the Milwaukee Brewers for 1993, and you would go on eventually to sign a minor league contract with Oakland in 1994, but then retired, just saying that you weren't seeing the ball well enough. Was your vision from the time of the injury until the end of your career, was your vision roughly the same, or did it vary, and did it get worse?
Sometimes it got worse because you lose vision little by little. I was not the same. I didn't feel the same. It was tough to realize that the vision was not going back. I knew I could do the job, but it was tough to be consistent.
Did you find that the depth perception problems were more difficult at bat or in the field?
At bat. At bat, you don't have that much time at bat. In the field, you have a little more time to adjust. And at bat, it was sometimes I didn't see the ball and I said, I don't know how I'm going to hit. But, you know, I figured it out. But, you know, hitting, it was tough.
It and obviously it's something that you've had to deal with ever since. But you definitely had the perception of someone who really worked hard to stay in the major leagues, because after that injury, you know, you played essentially a decade afterward with subpar vision. That had to have taken a certain amount of internal strength.
Yes. I wanted to play so bad that it was hard at sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I felt like, you know, I don't want to play because I couldn't produce the same way, but I got to a point that I was, you know, if I could play more years in the big leagues, I was going to try. And I always worked very hard, and I had a chance to play a lot in Puerto Rico. I had a lot of experience as a player. So that really helped me because I knew how to position myself. Like nowadays they use charts. I used to do that. I used to work and watch where the hitter's going, hitting, and how the pitcher is throwing and what he's going to throw. So that really helped me a lot.
Following your career, you were involved with some work on the minor league level, including with the Astros as a minor league base running and infield instructor. You also were involved with the Winter League in Puerto Rico. How much do you enjoy coaching?
I enjoyed coaching a lot. The only thing I didn't like it was they took too much time away from the family, and I didn't want to do that all over again. And that's why I didn't stay longer. You know, coaching in the minor leagues is very tough. It's you have to spend a lot of time away from family, and but you know, I enjoy helping young guys, but I want to like family more.
I know in 2011 you met with Mike Torres for the first time following the injury. Obviously, that's decades later. What prompted the meeting?
It was a gathering for the Mets, and they invited me. I think it was from the alumni. And I went. I didn't expect that he was going to be there. He looked at me and I look at him, and it was funny because we didn't know what to do, but I went to him and I you know, I say hello, and he was very, very nice, apologized for what happened, and I don't worry about that. And it was a good meeting.
It's and what have you been doing in recent years?
Well, I've been involved in winter ball in Puerto Rico. I even bought a team in winter ball, and I really been involved with young guys, trying to help them prepare to become professional, and that's what I've been doing.
It. What do you think of modern baseball?
I too many rules. I think the game become a little soft. I think pitchers are trying to be too perfect because of the information they have. Sometimes the game is a little predictable, And I think they should get rid of some of the, you know, the thing about double play. I don't like that. I don't like not being able to hit the catcher. Little things like that, I don't like.
In terms of the kind of player that you were, it's hard to imagine someone playing shortstop in the style that you did today.
Oh, yeah. And I remember when I was coming up, I used to work out a lot around the base for turning double plays, because in those days, you know, runners could hit you. And I had to learn how to do different things so I could avoid being hit by these big guys. So that was part of the game. Now, you don't have to worry about that.
What is your favorite on-field highlight of your career?
The All-Star game. The All-Star game, you know, being in the field, same field with those great players. That was a great, great time.
What would you like people to remember most about your career and you personally?
You know, that I did my best, that I worked hard, that I played hard. Respect the opponent, the other team respect, and try to beat them. That's what I like to be remembered.
Dickie Thon, we are grateful for you taking time to speak with us today for our Sabre Oral History interview.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure.